we sin tempt us. Somebody read that for me, 12 through 15, James 1. Anybody? James, the first chapter, verse 12 through 15.
Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after his desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death.
Temptation.
Conceived.
Okay. Do not err. Thank you. That's true. Temptation is something that comes to us. Sometimes temptation is something that we go to. You know, we sometimes we put ourselves into temptation's way, and sometimes temptation just comes our way. But James is saying that let every man understand that he is drawn to lust and enticed. You know, it's a draw. He's drawn to. And then it says after, you know, he is drawn. It says lust hath. It kind of like gives birth to what you're doing, sin, and that sin brings forth death to you, because you know it's something that we have gotten ourselves into, something that we did, we wanted to do, because one thing about sin in this dark world, sin seems like it's the natural thing to do. Sin seems like it's, you know, people look at it as like, if you can't sin, what else could you do? You know, what else, you know? You know, it's like, it's almost like you can't have fun at all. You know, it's like you can't do nothing, right? You know, but if you got some sin in it, things just, you know, it seems like it's all right, you know, it's okay. But when sin is finished, what does it bring forth? Even though sin seemed to be all that, you know, sin seemed to be fun. Oh man, you know, remember those days? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, we were fortunate that we had experience. We're going to share it because it's not about us. I don't want to be anyone here being misconceived. It's not about us. So we're in Europe. Of course, there's a small group of Christians there. And we long for camaraderie, fellowship. And one of those times is when we would bring in the New Year, and we would all go to somebody's home, and we would either play cards or do something, play games. And so one of the brethren had brought one of his fellow soldiers out of the barracks. Say, hey, come with us, come with him to this gathering. Anyway, after it was all said and done, he shared with us what she told him. She could not believe that you could have so much fun without alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Those are his words. And again, that's how Christians should be. Always have fun. Fellowship, camaraderie, but not doing sin.
and like I said, the world is like, you can't have fun without. I went to I was invited to a birthday party, and you know, I'm thinking that, you know, because of who the party was for, I'm thinking, you know, we're just going to sit and eat, right? So we were sitting down and eating, right? Me and my wife and son. And after, you know, we started eating, the music started playing, right? I said, okay. And then they rolled in some beer, right? I said, okay. I said, honey, we got to leave. Even though it was a birthday party of someone close to me, I had to get out of there. First of all, for myself. Second of all, I didn't want nobody, I didn't want to condone that, thinking that you know, letting them understand that it's all right. Are you with me? Because a lot of people, I've heard a lot of people say stuff like that. Well, he's a Christian and he do it. You know, he does it all the time. My wife, she's a Christian woman. And she drinks, you know, like that's supposed to be, you know. My husband is a Christian man, a good Christian man, and he, you know, we give place to that. But I couldn't give place to that. I said we have to leave. And the people were bitter. Who do we think we are? You know, just leaving after we done eat the food. You know, we gonna leave now, right? And you know, they were saying stuff like, I remember when, but you know, you all this now. You know, yes, you're right. And you can be at that too, if you want to, right? But it's saying that we are led by lust, if we let it. And that lust caused us to bring forth things. So it's telling us that we could, sin starts where? In us, in our hearts. In our hearts, in us. It starts there. But if we let it stay there, we got a good chance. Are you with me? It's when we bring it forth. You know? If we could just let it stay, you know, the thought stay, you know, within us. Jesus warned us about one sin. He said, if you look upon a woman to lust, you have sin already. So Jesus is saying that sin has started already. Now, you could look at it as lust, but you don't touch her, right? You don't, you know, do the wrong, right? I think you're safe. But Jesus is warning us that sin starts here. It starts within us. And if we let sin tell us what to do, we're going to do it. And I always, you know, when I read that scripture, right, it says, if a man look upon a woman, right? What about if a woman look on a man? It's the same thing, right? You know, right.
I mean, the looking part in and of itself is not sin. It's mm-hmm. what you do with it.
Exactly.
So, again, there's beautiful women. There's handsome men.
Mm-hmm.
There's the beauty of God's creation.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but to look at it in a sinful way,
mm-hmm.
that's where the error comes.
Exactly.
Even though it may come into our thought, and mm-hmm. we've matured enough that we never, ever want to lust after anything,
mm-hmm.
whether it's woman, money, mm-hmm. a nice car, whatever,
mm-hmm.
a job position, a trophy,
mm-hmm.
any of that to lust after. You want it so bad that you start changing your life because of it. We've gone astray.
Mm-hmm.
We've done something that does not please God. So, yeah, we can learn to turn away,
mm-hmm.
learn to turn it off,
mm-hmm.
learn to do better. And also, once you realize, oops, you slipped, because again, young men slip.
Mm-hmm.
We all make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
The better man understands, I made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And go to God in sincere mm-hmm. prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Help me, Father, to overcome, to control my thoughts, that I may glance or look or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but the thought is no more conceived in my mind,
mm-hmm.
but what's in my heart is supposed to reflect you. And there's no evil, no sin
mm-hmm.
that God considers acceptable.
Exactly. And you know, when we look at it, you know, God gave us an example of Jesus being the groom and we're the bride. Now, the sisters, you know about being brides more than we do. You know, you do, right? But think about it now. Your husband, your husband-to-be, don't want you around with every other man anytime, all the time, right? Right? And you don't want no man who's everywhere. So you would want a husband who is faithful, so that you want to be faithful. And that's why Jesus gave it as an example of a bridegroom, right? Because you don't want your bride to say, with everybody, you know, and then come home, you know. But anyway, you know, I forget about. But anyway, it's saying that it starts here, within you. That's where sin starts at. You start thinking about it. Sometimes you look at on a woman too long. You know, you just look at her too. You look at a man too long, right? It later on says if your right eye offend thee, what? Plug it out. That means don't look at it that long. You know, if it's offending you, if you said, you know, if it, in my heart, I'm married, right? Barbara, don't get mad at me for what I'm getting ready to say. If I'm looking at a woman, right, and that woman is just, whoo, right? Right? And I just can't get my mind off of that woman, you know. I can't, you know, I didn't try to stop looking at it, but my eyes won't stop. You know, my head helping me out, but my eyes just won't stop, right? That's what it's saying, right? If your eyes going to offend you, plug it out. That don't mean, you know, it means stop looking, right? When she come, you know, you might, when she come along, you know, just don't look. How are you? You know. Yes, ma'am. How? Yes, ma'am. Me and my wife, we're doing fine. We're doing, you might look kind of weird, right? But that's what it's saying. You know, you try to, you know, not, you know, because it could happen. A woman could see a handsome old man, right? And she just can't get that man out of her mind. And just like your brother said, pray. Take it to God in prayer. Say, Lord, I'm struggling with something. You know, every time I see this brother, every time I go to work and see this man, you know, I'm struggling, Lord. I need you. Go to the Lord truthfully. Truthfully. Go to him and God, if you come to God truthful, he would help you. You just got to listen. He'll instruct you exactly what to do. Because you'll start studying or you come to class and it'll be a study. And they say, you know, I didn't even think about that verse. You know, that verse helped me. You see, because I got my eyes on this woman. I got my eyes on this man. And I ain't supposed to have it on it like that. You know, something wrong. But it starts within. You know, when we look at pornography, right, that book. You know, when we look at that, right, that's a sin, isn't it? When you look at that, that's a sin. Some people will say, well, you know, that ain't no sin because there ain't no real person. Right? And why would they say that? Because they want to continue to look. Right? Exactly. They want an excuse to keep on looking. You know, this ain't real. This is just, you know, hey. Right? But it's wrong because you're lusting after something. And like we spoke earlier, when you lust after, that's just filthy wrong when you're lusting after. You know, it's just wrong. And pornography, you know, you know, people might can't see where it says thou shalt not look at pornography or whatever, right? But we, when we study the book, the Bible says precepts on precepts. Are you with me? We could read this, and from here is something else to read about it. And from here is something else to read about it. And from there is something else. You keep reading, and it'll instruct you, right? It will instruct you what to do in the book. In the book, are you with me? But if we start reading other things, it'll instruct us to say, you know, hey, all I have to do is keep it in my closet. You know, keep it in the trunk. My wife won't need it, see it, right? You know, as long as I keep it from her, I'm going to be all right, right? But no, it starts, sin starts here. Are you with me? When we get before God, well, God, you know, I had a lot of pornography books, but I never let my wife catch me going to. Never.
I heard someone say the other day, you need to control your thoughts because your mind governs what you do.
Thank you. Yeah. Wow. You need to control your mind because it governs your way. And that's exactly what it's saying. If we don't check our minds, our thoughts can get us into deep trouble.
In Psalm 119, verse 9, again, the New International Version, the question is posed, how can a young man keep his way pure?
Uh-huh.
By living according to your word.
Yes, sir. That's it. God knows what he's saying. God has an answer for what? Everything. And the thing is, he got the right answer for everything. This world has an answer for everything, but the answer ain't no good answer. You know? Because, you know, sin has an answer for sin. You know? You know, we could, you know, sin will say, you know, just do it in the closet. Are you with me? You know, I was looking at TV, you know, and I remember a preacher, he used to call it the hell box, you know. And he said he don't want no TV in his house, right? And I used to say, this man is crazy, right? He got to have a TV, right? But I'm understanding how he felt. Now, I still got a TV in my house, man. I do, yes, I do. More than one. I ain't going to tell you how many, but more than one. But that you know, he didn't like that hell box. And I was looking at TV the other day. I was looking at a gospel channel or whatever, right? And it had this school, this elementary school. And they had these people, these men who dress drag queens. They had drag queens in an elementary class teaching them that this is okay. You know, this is how we are. It's all right to be that way. In the class, and these kids, and a teacher in the class, now, are you with me? A teacher's in that class, and the principal is in the school. But they got this drag queen in the class, got the hair, lipsticks, everything on, you know, teaching the children that some folks are just like this, you know. Some people, you know, you have to understand this, that some people are just like this. Teaching these little kids that, you know, and, you know, and what you gonna do? You gotta pray. We got some stuff to do. We got work to do, right?
You know, we try to make excuses for ourselves, saying, well, you know, I couldn't help myself, or I was stuck in the position. Mm-hmm. But in fact,
the devil made it.
Yes, the devil made it. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, tells you how faithful our God is. No temptation that overtakes you except what is commanded to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can be, can endure it.
Amen.
So it's all on us.
We to take that way out. Are you ready to take that way out?
And again, this is a, just to be reminded of what's in the Scripture, how relevant Scripture is, because unfortunately, far too many are making the claim nowadays, oh, that's an old book. Mm-hmm. Well, that book needs to be rewritten for modern times.
Talk about the Bible.
The Bible. Mm-hmm. Again, Isaiah 5, I'll be reading verse 20, again, the New International Version, where it states, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And unfortunately, again, we have much prayer needed for our country, for ourselves, for the church, because there are many brotherhood publications who are also accepting the transgender, the LGBTQ agenda, etc. And we know that God has specific commands against those kind of behavior. And many others. I mean, lying is a sin.
Yes.
You know, going over the speed limit is a sin. Because it's a law that's been posted. We as Christians, we should obey all laws within our capability. And God's precepts. Again, how can we keep our hearts pure? By obeying His Word. How can we know His Word? By reading the Word. Warts and all, because a lot of the stuff that is printed there for our own benefit is hard. And it is what we need. It's like, how many Twinkies do you really need in a week? Many people say, I can eat all the Twinkies I want. Go ahead and see what happens. And we know that it's not good for you. So sin in any measure. And of course, I guess it goes without saying that even though you want to try to keep it in your closet per se, God knows.
God knows. That's the key. He knows. I remember an old man, he used to say, it's hard, but it's fair. You know, God's word is hard. It is. We just have to have that faith to deal with it, because it's good. It's the best thing going for us. It's the best thing, even though it sometimes it don't make no kind of sense whatsoever. It just to it's just like the Bible says, if they smack you on one side of the face, what, turn the other? Lord, have mercy. How many of us can do that? You know? And when is the right time to do that? Because sometimes we ought to hit back, you know. It's just like if somebody break in our house, right? To steal our stuff and hit us. Well, hit me on the other side too. No. No, we need to do something about that. Are you with me? Especially if it's we have children in the house, and men, we protecting our wives, and wives protecting us too. What?
Yeah, we were shared with this event. Someone did break into a woman's house, and she was there by herself. And he was there underneath the TV, rummaging through stuff, and she come down in a robe, and she said, "Stop! Acts 2:38." He's froze. He froze. And she was able to call the cops. The cops showed up and noticed they were still standing right there. Didn't move. And the cop says, "How come you didn't move?" Well, the lady says she had an axe.
That's why that man didn't move. Okay. Yes, ma'am. That's why he couldn't move. What? Anyway, that it starts within us, and when we bring it out, that's when it hurts us. It's just like a thought. Just like if McLaughlin says something to me that I don't like, and I got a thought to say something back to him, right? If I keep that thought within me and I walk away like God would have me to do it, I'm not saying that you wouldn't do that. Right? But, you know, and I walk away, that thought is still what in me. That thought didn't, that word didn't come out. Because what would come to me is what the scripture says, the tongue is like a what? Exactly. It's like a two-edged sword. And also the tongue is of life and death. Are you with me? I could say something back to you and make things worse. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? I could walk away and make it better. Mm-hmm. You know? Soft answer, turn away, wrath. Are you with me? Soft answer is to walk away. You know? And say something like, you know, brother, another day. Are you with me? This is not our day. We can't speak to one another right now. Another day. You know, so forth. But if that's in me to say, and I say it, I could just make our relationship worse than it is already. But sin, that's where sin starts at, it within the heart. Now, there's another sin that we sin, and that's the sin of bullying. You know, we could be a bully and not really pay attention to it. Because we could tease people, right? We could say some things to folks, you know, that's really kind of harsh, that's bad. You know, we could do things to folks that's kind of bullyish, like, you know. And because it could just be our nature, what kind of person we are, you know. We're just that tough-skinned person. We don't really know how to talk to folks. We don't know really know how, you know, we just treat folks like that because it's our nature to do that. Turn with me to Proverbs, the 4th chapter. Proverbs 4. You know, and you have some people, you know, they just got evil in them, you know, and even Christians, they just got an evil thing about them. They don't know how to talk to you, you know, and they want to, you know, they want to pick on you, you know, and you don't want to be picked on. You really don't want to be picked on, but people, you know, some people are just like that. You know, they want to laugh at you. I know at my job, right? You know, I come on the job. You know, here comes the preacher. You know, here comes the Christian. Shh, don't say that. He's a Christian, right? You know, here comes the light. You know, we can't. You know, we need change. That's the light. You know, light of life. But And they would make joke, and at the whole, you know, at lunchtime, the whole, everybody, 20 men, they would be laughing at me. Are you with me? It's just a joke. You know, it's just a joke. That's how I took it, right? But when I said something to the guy who was joking, and I made a little gesture with him, right? The man got in my face and said, "What you say?" You know. So, now, you can, you know, you had the whole people laughing at me with your hard joke, you know. Now, I said just a little gesture, and I was not supposed to say that back, you know. You have bullies who are like that, and you do have bullies like that within the church, who are bullies. You know, they want to make you feel bad. They want to, you know, say, and they think it's right. You know, it's like, that's just the way they are. Everybody else understand me, you know, and that's just the way I am, and so forth and so on. But let's see what it says. Verse 16 to 70. Somebody read that.
For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence.
This is speaking about the darkness, the people, you know, the evil, the sinful folks, right? They do things. It's like they got to do something to you before the light's out. Because if they don't hurt somebody, if they don't, it's like the devil going to get them.
You find that this type of bullying can be happening within your church.
In the church, yes, ma'am.
I've seen it. And I've experienced it myself.
In the church, yes.
Where you have young Christians and I'm not going to mention names, but this young man went for the first time for the congregation to offer up a prayer, and then afterwards got corrected because it wasn't the way that they wanted it done. Mm-hmm. That young man never ever
came back.
So that not only were you wrong by doing this, but you were also causing somebody to be lost. Me, myself, I was jumped on because I spoke up like I do now in a Bible class. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it had me to the point where I was doubting my own self. Until I spoke to some more seasoned elders and to my husband that I could finally reconcile with what I done and understood, no, you didn't do wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't, I never spoke up in a worship service. I never, you know, usurped authority over men. I just spoke up in Bible class like I'm doing now. But yet I was condemned of sinning before the congregation.
I remember a preacher, right? He would always preach, you know, at somebody, you know? And how he would preach, right? He would throw stones, you know. Instead of throwing the word, giving them the word, he would be throwing stones. And you know, the congregation would just take it, right? One day, had a class, and something was said, right? And he thought that what was said was against him, but it really wasn't against him, right? He had this figure in his mind that what was said was throwing a stone at him. Wherein sometimes we could throw stones and not notice it until what the stone is thrown back at us. Somebody said it like this, if you're living in a glass house, you are not throw no stones. Amen? That means, right, if you know your house is glass, why would you throw a stone at somebody and they will throw it back at you and tear your house all to pieces, right? So, we have to learn this and understand that there are some bullies out there, you know, and there's some people who want to make you look bad. Some folks in the church just don't like you. You know, I don't like how you walk. I don't like how you talk. I don't like how you look. You know, yeah, I don't like whatever, you know, and because I don't like you, I'm going to do things to, you know, to try to hurt your feelings, but I'm going to do it in a nice way, you know, I'm going to try to, I'm going to try to hurt you now, but I'm going to do it in a nice way, you know. Go ahead.
One of the things we have to always remember as a Christian, we can't overlook, and this is, I think, a thing that we fall short on, everybody, at some point in time. We underestimate the power of what the devil does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't honestly enough try and pay attention to actually see the devil and things. We just kind of let it go forward, like it's okay. The devil's main purpose is to upset us, to throw us off track, to get at us any way that he can. That's why the Bible tells us to be on guard, to be vigilant, to look out for certain things. But when we allow, as the phrase that Jared used, and I like it so much, we allow the devil to turn the light down, before we know it, we ended up, you know. But we come in the room, and it's already dim, because this is what everybody's accepting, and this is what everybody else does. So we think it's okay, and we want to be accepted, so we know we're not going to say anything about that.
We don't say no. We don't want to start no trouble.
Right. And we don't want to be the part of everybody looking at and talking about. You know, we don't want to be seen or heard. We want to just blend in with everything and go along with everything. Along. As long as we blend in and go along, the devil will keep turning the light down, and we're going to stay in the dark.
Exactly. Condoning. You know, if we condone it, you got to be somebody who should stand up. You know, if we're not afraid. But most of the time we're afraid because, like you said, we don't want to start no trouble. You know, we know it's wrong, but, and like I said, this preacher, like I said, he would, I mean, tear people all to pieces, right? With his, you know, with his preaching and his teaching, you know. I remember one time, right, he was talking about me, right? I ain't going to tell you who it is. And he said something, you know, he was preaching, right? And I said, amen, right? And he said, some people don't even know when you're talking about them. I said, okay, all right, you know. But in the class, right, when there was an answer and it just sounded like it was against him, and nobody was, you know, even thinking about him, right? But it sounded like it was against him, and he was just all got up and, you know, jump up and down. Right? But being a bully, you don't want nobody to bully you, but it's all right for you to bully someone else, you know? And that's not good. Being a bully, that's not good at all, because one thing about being a bully, you ain't really got no true friends, because you'll have a lot of people with you, following you, just because they don't want you to bully them. They're not there because they, you know, man, you cool, you know, I like to, you know. They just don't want to be bullied by you, right? And I remember the Spanish guy on the job, right? He said something like, you know, he said, you have to respect the devil, give the devil his due, because if you don't, the devil gonna get you. I said, who told you that, right? And then another brother said, I believe that too. And I said, no. I said, you know, what you're saying is you got to do something wrong before the day out so the devil won't mess with you. But that's not good. That's not true. First of all, if you do that, you know, that's just, you're giving in to the devil. And we're not supposed to give in to him. It says we flee from him. It resist him. That's what we're supposed to do. Resist him, and he will flee. But if you give in just because you don't want him to bother you, then something is wrong. And that's what a bully is. A bully, right? He got a lot of followers because they don't want to be bullied. You know, like you said, I'm going to do what you say, you know, because I don't want no trouble. You know, as long as I do what you say, then, you know, you won't bother me. Are you with me? But a true Christian, you know, will take the blows. He said, I can't be like that. That's just not me. You know, you just won't have to bully me, and I'm going to do my best to, you know, to pray for you and you know, and hope that you get this thing turned around. My time is 5 minutes.
Two minutes.
Yeah. Well, you know, what? Throwing stones or whatnot, right? That's what you know. And someone said like this, right? It says when people throw stones at you, right? Take it and build an altar. Take those stones and build an altar. Take those stones and build a church, you know, because you know people are like that, and bullies are out there. Even like we said, even in the church, they just want you to do what they say, and if you don't, they're gonna embarrass you. They're gonna do something, you know, to cause you to give in. But we have to resist the devil in his way. And he will flee. He will leave us alone. He says, because this man.
And a good way to think about this too is to encourage us. Is James 1:12, where it says, blessed is the man who perseveres under these trials.
Yes, sir.
Because when he stood the test, he'll receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. It couldn't be worth it.
Yes.
You feel pretty low sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's worth it to stand up for
Yes, ma'am. And if you stick with sin, the wages of sin is death.
The only power the devil has on you is what you give.
Exactly. The Bible says, for sin separates us from God. And if you're in your right mind, you don't want to be separated from God. Jeremy, would you please?
Praise you and thank you for this opportunity to learn more of your will and your word. We pray that you'll continue to be with us, Father, through the service to you. That everything we do, Father, will be done so in a way that brings glory to you. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus.